Chapter number 13, Luke chapter number 13, as we continue on in our Sunday morning series in the book of Luke, we come to a passage of scripture that is pretty somber. I don't have a lot of notes this morning, just kind of want to speak from my heart a little bit about the story that's found here, and it's something that I've been chewing on all week long trying to figure out the best way to present it, and I think the Bible presents itself pretty well here. About it is showing the importance of knowing Christ and the importance of making sure that you're saved. And Jesus teaches this lesson. And there's some important values here, so don't just shut it off. I know some people say, well, if it's talking about salvation, I got that figured out and settled, then I don't have to worry about that. But there's an important question here that I think that many of us will ask and have asked in the recent years, and hopefully it will inspire us to want to make sure that we're helping people know how to be saved. But also, to know that to make sure that you've been delivered and that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is one of the things that we want to accomplish this morning. Luke chapter number 13 here. We're going to go ahead and start in verse 22. We're not going to look at right now. We might make reference to verses 19 and 20 and 21. We did not go over those last week. Jesus gives a couple of parables there to teach about what the kingdom of God was going to look like and also talks about false religions inside those verses, and there are a lot of things there, and sometime we might come back to that. But verse 22, it says, "And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." So as we've learned here in the setting where we're at, is Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross. Why is he headed to the cross? We know he came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's going to die for the sins of mankind. But while he's on the way, he's probably somewhere around less than 6 months to headed to Jerusalem. Less than 6 months to where he'll be dying on the cross where we're at in the scriptures. What is he doing though? He's going through cities. He's going through villages and he is teaching. It's important, even though he knows he's going to give up his life for mankind. He is caring about others. We've seen just recently that he's healing people still, but he's teaching. It's important teaching them the things of God and how to know that they're on their way to heaven, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. So we know where he is headed. Verse 23, "Then said one unto him," somebody stops and asks him a question, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" We're going to look at that question a little bit this morning, but he's asking a question. We don't know much about the person who asked it. We don't know anything about it. We think it's in a sincere form because of the way that Jesus responds. He says, "Are there few that be saved?" And that's the question that I think many of us today, we look around and we see and we know what God's done in our heart, what God's done in our lives, what God's done in our mind. We don't understand why not the whole world would want to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I can imagine this gentleman and this person that is there and he's walking with Jesus and sees the big crowds and he hears the teaching, he sees the miracles. But the Bible tells us a lot of times about how people would just leave Jesus and how wouldn't be a true follower of Jesus Christ. And he asks this question. And he says to him, and it's something, "Are there few that be saved?" And that's the title of this morning's message. We're going to get back to that question in just a second. And he said, look at Jesus' response. And he said unto them, that's wonderful. Jesus answers him. Jesus doesn't ignore him. Jesus is wanting to answer his question. Then he says something that's kind of interesting. He says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." He turns around, he hears this question, and he looks at him and says, "Make sure you're going to heaven." This man says, "Are there few that be saved?" And Jesus looks at him and says, "Make sure you're one of those that are saved." And then he gives a story, a prophetic look in the future of what it's going to be like for those who do not know Christ. And it says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are." So what the scripture is saying here, Jesus is there, and it's the idea of he's giving a parable in a sense about something that's going to happen in the future, that there are going to be those that are looking to get into heaven. But once the door is shut, he says, you're not going to be able to come in. And even while they're on the outside trying to get to heaven, they speak of privilege. They speak of reasons why they think they should go to heaven. Look what it says in verse 26. "Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." He says, you know us, Jesus. We've eaten with you. We've drank with you. We've heard you teach. And then he says in verse 27, the response, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So what Jesus is telling this man is, make sure you know that you're saved. He says, because there is going to be many who know of me, who has even spent time with me, and know all about me, but never truly believed and accepted me. Let's keep on going. And then he gives a response about what it's going to look like in the prophecy in the future of those that do not know Christ. Not only is he telling them to depart, there's a separation, but there's also, you see where it says in verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. He says, if you don't know me, this is what's going to happen to you. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he even gives the idea of being able to see those religious, those patriarchs of the Jewish nation that they put their faith and trust in, and the law that they put their faith and trust in, but you will not be a part of that. Then he ends with something here, and it's kind of neat because he's speaking to the Jews, and many times at this point in time, the church is still something that is a little bit of a mystery. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't understand that that Christ is coming not only to die for the Jewish nation, he came to die for the whole world. And he says to them, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. He's saying there's going to be a multitude of people from all different areas that's coming. It's not just going to be the Jewish nation. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. I want you to skip down here because I know that seems a little bit harsh there. And the fact that Jesus says, look, you know me or you're going to be cast out. You know me or there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And people says, man, that seems very hard. That seems very ugly. Who would want to live or believe in a God like that? Go down. Look what it says in verse number 33. Actually, we'll go to verse 34. This is Jesus' response. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Verse 34, he is lamenting the fact that people are rejecting him. He has come out of a heart of love to die for the sins of mankind, and people are rejecting him. People are putting it off. They know what they need to do, and they're saying, not today, not today. This morning, I like to think of this question that we find in verse 22, actually verse number 23, are there few that be saved? Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that this is a message that I needed to hear. Not in the fact that I don't know you as Savior, but because of the fact that I need to be busy trying to win people to Christ. Because there will be a day and time when there will be those that are trying to enter in, but they will be thrust out because they waited too long or they believed in something that was false. God, I pray you burden our hearts this morning to take the life-changing word of God and give it out to others. And this morning, as we hear the story and we hear the words of Jesus, Lord, I pray you press it upon the heart that does not know for sure if they die today that they would go to heaven. That they see in their mind the picture that you have given, that the door will be shut and there will be no entrance into heaven unless they believe and trust in you. Lord, speak to people's hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look here first at the question. Let's look here in verses 22 and 23 again. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. I want you to see that he cared about the people. Jesus did not have to come into this world. He could have left us and we could have all went to hell because that's what we deserve because of the sin in our lives. But he came, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, he died for us. Out of a heart for love, he came. And out of a heart for love, he demonstrated and he showed and he proved his love towards us. Verse 23 is where I'm interested in why I hear this, that this man who's walking with the Lord, he says, are there few that to be saved? He says, how come there's not many people that are getting saved? How come there's not many people who are accepting? How come there's not many people believing? And I think sometimes we get this and we see this, and maybe us have been to church most of our lives, and we wonder why there isn't, the church isn't filled, and why the church isn't overflowing, and why there isn't tons of people that are just gathering in and saying, let us hear more about this Jesus. If he truly loved us, and if he truly died for us, and there was a need that he came and he met for us, why doesn't everybody accept it? Why doesn't everybody get saved? And I hear that question, and it burdens my heart at times. And when we say, Pastor, there's just not many people getting saved today. Why aren't there more people being saved? Why aren't we seeing more people being saved? And that question is something that burdens our heart and burdens our mind, and it should cause us not to complain about the complacency of a church or about a pastor or about preaching, but instead to say, I have the Word of God. I can go out today and change someone's life by sharing the gospel with them. You think about that. You could take the Bible and explain to someone with the Holy Spirit's help how they could be saved and be those that are let in and not left out. I mean, we could actually have the resources in our hands that can take and show and demonstrate to someone that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, that Jesus Christ came and he died for their sins, and how they could be know their way to heaven. But how many of us do it? I mean, if we left today saying, you know what, I'm going to spend this week trying to reach somebody with Christ. Because we hear the story, and I see the story, and in my mind, I see the person just there, and they're knocking on the door, and they're saying, hey, Jesus, let me in. Let me in. I know you. I know who you are. I know who you are, Jesus. I've learned about you. I did this for you, and I did that for you. And they're sitting there knocking, please, let me in. Let me in. It's just not going to happen. To us, we sit there, are our hearts even moved by that? Because I know throughout the week, I've been thinking about this question, and it says, are there few to be saved? And yes, it's going to be few. The Bible says that it's not going to be large numbers and huge numbers, but there are some, and that we can take the Word of God and we can make a difference in someone's life. But he says there's only one way that they can come. And if we have the truth and we know the truth and we can change people's lives, why aren't we doing it? And so when I come to the passage of scripture like this, I see and I consider what the future is. And Luke, once again, he's probably, and it depends, different Bible scholars, you know, think he's about 5 months away from the cross. Some even say up to 3.5 months. And they take the steps of when Jesus is going to the cross. But you have this passage of scripture talking about this. And you're going to see in chapter 15, there's another passage of scripture, chapter 16. It's going to talk about the hell, the rich man that went to hell. We're going to see this over and over. This is on the Lord's heart. He wants to make sure that you know that you're saved. So we see, first of all, the question, why are there only so few being saved? The Lord told me, he says, why are there only so few that are telling others how they can be saved? Second thing I want you to see here, not only the question, I want you to see the response. And it says in verse 23, then said one to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? I like this next phrase, and he said unto them. I know you might not think that's a big phrase. He said, well, it's just common sense. Jesus is going to respond, but it teaches us about God. God wants us to ask questions, and he wants us to give us the answer. He's given us this book. He has given a believer the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to help lead and guide us in our lives. He wants to give those questions. He wants you to ask those questions, and he wants you to get into his word, and he wants you to study his word. He wants you to know his word. He wants to answer the questions. Jesus here, he takes this question, and sometimes we get annoyed by questions, don't we? Sometimes even especially when children ask us questions, or teenagers, or maybe people we don't have time for ask us questions, we get annoyed with it. But what a teacher will do, or someone who cares about an individual, will take that question and make it a teaching moment. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry about it. He uses this and makes it a teaching moment. And he looks at that and he says, look, yes. Now, make sure first. Look what it says here in verse number 24. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, I know what some will say, well, that word strive, it means that you're supposed to agonize. You got to work hard, and you got to work hard for your salvation. We know that's not true. But what the Bible says, this does not suggest it's works for salvation, but it's an emphasis one should put on salvation. Our salvation should be the most important matter of our life. And what he's saying to him and the response to him is, strive to know that you're entering at the right gate. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. He's saying, make sure you know for yourself that you're saved. Because he asked that question, a few that be saved. You think about that word saved. It's talking about being delivered. It's talking about being saved from something. And it's talking about an eternal life set apart from God in a horrible place called hell, saved from your sins. He says, how come there's only so few that are following? How come there's only so few that are accepting? How come there's only so few that are believing? And he says, look, make sure. Go to the greatest lengths to understand that you know that you've come through the straight gate. Make sure that you've come through Jesus Christ and that no other way, because he's the only way to heaven. His response is one that he's saying, hey, this is of the utmost importance. This is of the utmost importance. Your salvation depends upon it. Your eternal life depends upon it. And this morning I asked this question to you. Did you go through the straight gate? So what does that mean? We know the references that it's referring to, and we know from the scriptures that he says he's the door, Jesus Christ. We know the Bible says, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the straight gate. It is going through Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone that will cause a person to be able to have eternal life. So I want you to think of, first of all, the question. Secondly, I want you to think about the response. Jesus doesn't want you guessing these things. He takes the time to help you. There's millions of people today that worship false gods. I don't care how much you pray to a Buddha statue, he's not going to answer you. I don't care how much you pray at the grave of Muhammad, he's not going to answer you. But Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God wants to help answer your questions, just like he helped this man. And the response was one that he's saying, make sure that you, he says, make sure it's of the utmost importance, because it says, for many, in verse 24, not just a few. Because in verse 23, he says, there's only a few being saved, but he says, look, make sure that you're saved. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, referring to heaven, will seek to get into heaven, and shall not be able. After this gives a picture of what the future is going to look like. There's many who thinks that they're going to be able to go to heaven. There's many who believe, and there's many millions and millions and millions of people who have put their faith and trust in something else, or have put off salvation, or put off this decision. And when the time comes after life is done and they're up in eternity and they're saying, I'm ready to get into heaven. He says, there are many, many that will try to get in. But it says, shall not be able. This is the second, the third thing is not only the question, the response. I want you to think about the prophecy. The prophecy is he gives this story. Jesus is a master teacher, and he gives this instance. Once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. So the prophecy is that there is going to be a day coming when it's too late to be saved. We know that day happens when a person leaves this world. That once they leave this world, they've already made the decision if they're going to accept or reject Jesus Christ. That it's going to be too late. Now there are people, and I see in this story two different people. I see one that put it off. People who said, hey, look, I drank with you, Jesus. I ate with you. I knew who you were. I heard your teachings. And they knew what Jesus was getting at. They knew what Jesus was trying to teach. He was very blunt. He was very honest. It was a preaching that was this way that says, hey, look, you can sit there and knock as much as you want, but you're not going to come in. He puts it that way to help people understand. You better make sure you know you're saved. You better make sure you know you come the Bible way, through Jesus Christ. He says that very blunt and very honest. And some people say, I can wait till tomorrow. I can wait till next week. I can wait till next year. Followers of people that are there. You think about all the religious leaders that sat and listened to Jesus just to try to find a mistake or find something that fought in him. They heard it over and over. But then there is those who said, tomorrow, next week. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us know what a day will hold. And he's saying there are some that who have put it off and say, Jesus, I knew I was getting ready to get saved. That should count for something. But it doesn't. And then there's others who have put their life, and spent their life serving a false belief. There are some people who are even harder workers than Christians are, inside what I call a false cult, that will think they can earn their way to salvation. They think that they can work and they can work and they can work. And there'll be those, as in other passages of scripture, that will say, but Jesus, we did this in your name, and we did this in your name, and we did this in your name. We knew who you were. It's not going to get them in. That straight gate is referring to that, the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Not only do I want you to see the prophecy of the shut door, I want you to see the prophecy of what is in store for those that leave this world without Christ. Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me. So in that prophecy that's there, there is a separation. There is a plea for salvation, but it's going to fall on deaf ears. There is a parting that happens, but there is also a pain in this perception. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Yeah, I know some people think that hell is a joke. Some people think that that it's a party. I've heard stories of that. I've even heard people say that. Not very many people say that. I'm going to go down to hell and be there with my friends and we're going to have a party. Not going to be able to have a party. There's a fire there. There's darkness. Bible describes it as weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to encourage you today that this is a literal question. This is a literal prophecy that Jesus is giving. This is what's going to happen to those that are without Christ. And it may be tough to hear and even tough to understand. And I listened to someone this past week that said this comment to me, talking about someone who believes in works for salvation, someone who believes there's a different way to heaven. They looked at me and said, I can't understand how God could reject someone like that has worked their whole life for him and never believed the same way we do. And I said, it's not about me understanding. It's not about me knowing. The Bible teaches us the truths that are found here. And there are many that have been deceived. The question is, have you been deceived today? Now, being a member of a church doesn't save you. Even getting baptized doesn't save you. Coming here today doesn't save you. You know, eating dinner today or today, you know, none of that saves you. He said, well, Pastor, what's the good news? I think the good news is found in verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north. I know some of you Southerns don't think anybody from the north could be saved, but from the north and from the south, I knew somebody would say amen, and from the south shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Here he's saying, look, you need to make sure you got this right. You need to make sure you have this straight. Because there's going to be a lot of people who think they got it figured out. And that day, the door is going to be shut, and they're going to be knocking, and they're going to be saying, Lord, you know me. I gave that money to help build this church. Or I took those kids to church. Or I grew up in church. Or you ever heard, my daddy was a Baptist pastor, or my granddaddy was a Baptist pastor. I've heard that before in visitation. I'm good. I'm good. My daddy or granddaddy was a Baptist. I knock on somebody's door and say, oh, I'm good. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor. I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with you? You want to see him someday in heaven? Then you have to come through the straight gate. You have to come through Jesus Christ. Lots of times people are putting on their works is how they're going to get to heaven. But the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. Even goes as far as saying it's that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Where do you putting your salvation on today? Your eternal destiny. You might say, well, if you believe this or that, well, if I'm right, then you have a lot to lose. So what I'm encouraging you to today is to make sure that as you look in the Bible and the Word of God, and see what the Bible says that a believer is, who a person who was saved and is on their way to heaven. That word strive means to agonize. Now, we do not have to work so hard to get our salvation. Jesus wasn't teaching that man that. Jesus was talking to a person who was concerned that would ask the same question that I've been asked, and that same question I've asked God myself and said, Lord, why aren't more people getting saved? And the answer is, yes, there is not many people telling, and yes, there are not many, the churches aren't doing the work that they could or that they should, and yes, there's many people who just choose not to. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. But he says, make sure, first of all, that you know that you're on the way to heaven. And then secondly, remember this. This is real. It's just like if you went in there and you shut the door and that. He said, oh, come on. Pastor, do you really believe that someone would be there and knocking on the door and Jesus wouldn't let them in? Let's go back to that story about Noah and the ark. When I was reading through this, I thought about that. I thought about Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, and how I'm sure that there was people who would mock him and would laugh at him and would say, oh, where is this rain that you speak of? Because it had not ever rained yet. And then when they had gotten into the ark and God shut the door, couldn't you see the people coming? And once the rain started falling from the ground, couldn't you see people going to the ark and saying, hey, Noah, I used to be your neighbor. Hey, Noah, remember, I used to work for you. I helped you build the ark. Remember this, Noah. Noah couldn't open that door. He couldn't let the people. And it says that the whole world perished except for the eight people that were the eight souls on the ark. To me, that's a picture of what's going to happen in the future. There are going to be many that says, you know me. Now, we know when it says down here, when Jesus says that I know you not, we know that God is omniscient. And the fact that he knows everything. He knows that individual. But it's the idea that he does not know them from their soul, from their salvation. They never accepted him. They never believed in him. And they never trusted in him. I'm speaking to a group of people that many of you have been here and come to our church many times. I'm speaking to a few that have been here only one time. And I don't care who it is that you are, how many times you've been here. I want you to strive in your heart this morning to make sure that you know Christ and that you know him personally. Your eternal destiny depends upon it. Well, say, Pastor, how can a person know that they're saved? Let me read a few verses and I will leave you with this. In Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have that word saved again. If you truly want to be saved, it means that you understand that you're a sinner, and that your sins have separated you from God, and that God loved you enough that Jesus came to this world to pay your sin debt for you. And he says, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. What do you need to believe? You need to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay your sin debt. That then it says, thou shalt be saved. Now, Jesus doesn't say, well, this person can do it, and this person. Some people believe that. I don't believe that's found in the Bible. Because the Bible says just a few verses later in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to picture for a minute, just for a minute, what it would be like to see people knocking on the door of heaven and couldn't get in. It's a humbling thought when you see that Jesus says, I don't know you. And they're thrust out, they're thrust down to that lake of fire forever. And they're just there and they're, Jesus, you know me. I don't know you. Calls them work, and then they talk about the works that in another passage of scripture, he calls them workers of iniquity. That means all the good works we do in this world without Christ, in God's eyes, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's not going to get any. What if someone could work their way to heaven? Jesus would not have had to die, but he didn't. He died for us because you can't work your way to heaven. And you're sitting there and you're knocking on the door and you're knocking on the door. And many times it is because the people put it off. Other times it's because they believe false gospels and they believe false religions. We could take this Bible and we could help show and teach somebody how they can know Christ. Because I can imagine that person knocking on the door. I want to come in. The answer is no. You got to go somewhere else. I know the judgment seats are set up differently. I understand the right throne judgment is when they will be judged whether or not their name is found in the book of life and they'll be cast into. I know all that. But Jesus told this story. He gave that illustration because it would make more sense to us. It's a parable and the idea, someone's there and you're knocking on the door. Someone who came to my house was knocking on the door and I didn't know them. I tell them to go away. If they didn't go away, I'd probably get my gun out and tell them to go away. And if they still didn't go away, no, I wouldn't shoot them. I'd call the cops. And then if the cops didn't come, then maybe we had to shoot them. But if they're sitting there just knocking on the door, I said, go away. I don't know you. Go away. I don't care. Well, I do know. Yeah, remember me? No, I don't remember. You get off my property. They're knocking on the door. No, go. And we joke about that, but think about it. People are dying today and they think they're going to go to heaven because of some false religion. And we don't even tell anybody at all that might even be interested in it. I speak this to your shame and my shame is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. I want to encourage you to chew on it a little bit. I've had the privilege of thinking about it most of the week. Think about that question. Are there only a few that are going to get saved? Jesus' response, make sure you got it settled. This morning, I don't know your salvation testimony, but the Holy Spirit of God knows whether or not you're saved. Sometimes people like to ask the question, well, do you think this person was saved and that person was saved and this and that? You know what? You can only go off based off a person's testimony. I know you can see their fruits, or you can see their lives, and you're like, well, they don't mind. God is one that knows a person's heart. But the Holy Spirit of God can tell your heart. And I'm not trying to convince anybody that they're lost today. I am not. Now, there are people who try to do that and try to get salvation numbers. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that there will be people who are knocking on the door because they waited too long and they put it off. And there'll be people who are trusting other things who have even worked for what they believe God, just like all those religious leaders thought they were doing all of God's work, that they put Jesus to death for God. But they never truly came through the straight gate. This morning, have you ever come through the straight gate? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Go ahead and stay.